I think I scared a few of you there. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, I'm excited to just lift the name of the Lord on high this morning. I want to start with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Jesus, we thank you for all that you do, for all that you are. Lord, we pray that you come and just meet with us in this service, Lord. Help us to learn more about you and to grow closer to you, Lord, and to lift your name up, Lord. And all you do, we're going to praise you and give you all the glory. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Are you guys ready to sing? That's pretty good. Give me one more. Are we ready to sing this morning? Yeah. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad I'm in your life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. One more time. The way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Oh Lord, we lift your name on high. Yes, I lift your name on high. Amen. 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 He's worthy of our praise this morning. Amen. Well, I'm not quite a one-man band today. Thanks for Chris being here, but give me a little bit of time to change costume here. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing an old hymn. And I'm sure, I hope most of you know, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace." And come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. And streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. And teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. And here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, amen. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. And Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. And he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. And oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. And let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. And prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. But here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. And here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. That's a good way to begin this morning, to think about giving God and offering God our hearts on a new, fresh Sunday morning, the first day of the weekend, the first part of the month of June. Can you believe it? We're already into June. Summer is just here, isn't it? I'm so glad that you're here today. God bless you and welcome to Nettles Island Church. And I want to take just a moment today to acknowledge and welcome anyone that's with us today visiting as a guest. And perhaps it's your very, very first time with us today. And we're excited that you're here. And we are just thankful to the Lord. And we have kind of changed our pattern a little bit. At the end of this service today, I'm going to go back to that back right corner. It'd be your left corner, but my right corner. And I'll be there as the service ends. We've got a little gift packet that we'd like to give out to every family that has come to worship with us today. It's just our little token way of saying thank you today. I just wonder, with a raising of hands, anybody here that is with us today for the very first time, just slip a hand up and let us welcome you today. Over here, we've got a couple. Anybody else? Say, let's welcome them today to Nettles Island Church. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. I just have one quick announcement this morning, and it's kind of twofold. If you look on the back of your bulletin under the announcements, you'll see that we have made our focus for June's missions prayer, My Father's House Orphanage and School in Haiti. And that is Voice of the Children. If you've read through that and you can look at that, you can see that there's been some transition in there, but the ministry is going on and it's going strong. And we're going to keep them in our prayer. We want you to pray over them this month especially. And as I was on the website, the new website, I saw that they had listed a whole sheet on how to pray for their needs. And so there are copies on the tables as you go out. I made 50 copies. I figured one per household, and we're probably good to go. Hopefully we won't run out, but I've got an extra one here if somebody needs one later. And this will help us to know how to pray for all the difficulty. What a situation it's going on. I know last week we prayed for that young missionary couple. We talked about them that gave their lives as martyrs for Jesus Christ, and prayed for their family and their loved ones. And we want to keep that country in prayer. This church supports an orphanage very heavily, financially and with prayer. And there are 200 children that live on the campus of the orphanage in Haiti, and another 200 that come and go every day for school. So there's 400 little boys and girls that you and I, together with our prayers and our finances, are providing food and shelter and education and place to sleep and security. They actually have to have armed security guards around the compound of that orphanage nowadays because of what's going on there. But thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for your faithfulness in giving to missions as we support them. So let's remember them in our thoughts and in our prayers as well. Spoke with Fred and Ruth Brink this week. Ruth turned 80 on May 31st, a couple of days ago. She was in the hospital, and she's come out of the hospital. She was in for some special treatment that she needed. So keep the Brinks in your prayer And if you're so inclined, if you know Ruth and you want to send her a note and just a belated birthday card, or you want to give a call and let them know, that would be a wonderful thing. And so many needs and so many opportunities to pray for on our prayer request list today. In fact, let's do that. Let's take a moment. In your bulletin, you'll see the prayer list. We've added Mirvin, Lego, Aleppo, and we've moved Ruth Brink up to the next spot because of some of the things going on with her. But there are a lot of names that are on there that we want to honor and we want to pray for and believe that God's going to do a miracle work. So would you join me today and let's pray together. Let's ask God's blessing and His healing and His touch upon these folks. Father, we just bow our hearts and our lives before You this morning. Father, we're so thankful today that in the midst of everything that goes on in this world and in our lives personally, that we can have a sense of peace that prevails no matter what the storm that rages about us is involving. And Father, today when we look at our prayer list, we think about Haiti, we think about the tragedy that's going on there and the difficulty, we think about the Ukraine, we think about Israel, we think about other places around the world where there are wars and all kinds of difficulties and problems, the famine and the lives of people that are hurting so bad. We think about the people right here in our own church, in our own fellowship. And Father, this morning we ask in the name of Jesus, as we pray together, as we bring our hearts before You, Lord, we ask in faith that You would honor, Lord, our prayer, our request, and that You would touch and minister and heal and set free and give peace and hope and joy to all those that are struggling in some way, in some format. Lord, those that came into the service today that just have that burden that's weighing upon their heart, Lord, I pray that right now we would just lay those burdens at the foot of the cross. We'd give those to You, Lord, and trust that, God, today is going to be a day where breakthrough begins and the answer is on its way and begins to come to bring us victory and to bring us relief. Father, we give You all the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. We're going to do a little bit more singing here. And if you're able, would you stand with me as we sing a couple choruses? The first one is entitled, Lord, I offer my life to You. Everything that I've been through, use it for Your glory. Lord, I offer my days to You, lifting my praise to You as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer You my life. Sing with us this morning. Lord, I offer my life to You, everything I've been through. Use it for Your glory. Lord, I offer my days to You, all of my praise to You, as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer You my life. Let's sing it again. Lord, I offer my life to You, everything I've been through. Use it for Your glory. Lord, I offer my days to You, lifting my praise to You, as a pleasing sacrifice. Oh, Lord, I offer You my life. Sing it one more time. And Lord, I offer my life to You, everything I've been through. Use it for Your glory. Lord, I offer my days to You, all of my praise to You, as a pleasing sacrifice. Oh, Lord, I offer You my life. And Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary,
pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Just the voices.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. You may be seated. I hope that's your prayer this morning. The Lord just use you as a sanctuary this morning. Well, it's really good to have some special people with us this morning. I kind of have a crush on this lady here. And hey, will you do this for me? If you like having them there, will you let them know it? Yeah. I know I sure do. Amen. Jess is going to sing a song for you, and it's entitled Little Is Much When God Is In It. Enjoy as she sings.
In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. And hark, the Master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. And does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? Well, it is great if God is in it, 'cause he won't forsake his own.
A little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
And when the conflict here has ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if you've been faithful, welcome home, my
child. Well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go, if you'll go, if you'll go.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. What is the name of this special music group that we have here today? That was good. And it really lines right up with what we're going to talk about this morning in the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the New Testament book of Hebrews? We're going to be in Hebrews this morning, and then in Philippians chapter 1 as well. But I've given my message a title this morning called The Finisher. The Finisher. Some title, huh? The Finisher. No, it's not the nickname of some mafia hitman. All right, it's not that, and it's not some stage name for a World Federation wrestling champion, and it's not the title of an action crime novel this morning. But this morning, as I share this message, we're not talking about just any finisher, but the title relates to the greatest finisher of all time in eternity. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. That'll be our text this morning. The Bible says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, and here it is, the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the finisher. Now, last week, as we were kind of winding down our series on the life of the Apostle Peter, we kind of closed it out with the end of his life and the legacy that he had left. And I've been thinking about that this week and pondering a little bit as I've been doing other things, wondering maybe if some of you were thinking after that, well, wow, that's great, Rob, that's just really great, but you know, it's a little late for me to make a difference in the spiritual or the faith matters in the lives of my kids or in my grandkids or my friends or my neighbors. After all, my life is kind of getting up there. It's behind me. You can fill in the blank, years old, and I don't have the time to make the changes. I don't have the time. And so you're preaching this message and telling us we can leave a legacy, and I'm looking at my calendar, and I'm looking at the days ahead versus the days behind. And maybe you spent a little time thinking about things like I woulda, coulda, shoulda, and had some regrets for not doing things differently earlier on in life. Well, I want to shake the tree of your mind this morning from the kind of thinking that way, because I've got some good news. I've got something positive that I want to share with you that will encourage your heart today. You see, today, no matter what our age, no matter what our situation or our destination at this very moment, as long as we have today, as long as we have breath in our lungs, as long as we're willing, like that song that was just sung, to surrender, to go out in Jesus' name and to start. Maybe we've been sitting a while and we've thought, my best is behind me, but I'm here to tell you that the best is today, and it's tomorrow, and it's until Jesus calls us home. Because I'm here to tell you that God is not finished with you or me yet. He's not done with us. And remember this, because God is supernatural, He operates outside the confines of time and the limitations of space. You and I live in time and space. We have a birth date. We have birthdays that we celebrate, anniversaries. We get up, we do our things. When we worked, you know, we had to go to work, and we had time constraints, and we had things that were limitations in space and where we could be and where we could go. But I want you to know that God's not on a 24-hour schedule. He doesn't live on that schedule like that. In fact, 2 Peter 3 and Psalm 90 tell us, and I want to cover those with you just quickly. Listen to these. They're not on the screen. In 2 Peter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Peter said this, "But you must not forget this one thing. Dear friends, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day." You say, what's that mean? Well, Peter was quoting Psalm 90, verse 4. You see, in Psalm 90, verse 4, it's one of the Psalms of Moses. And Moses said it this way, "For you," meaning God, "for you, God, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours." What God is telling us today is that in His supernatural capabilities, that He can take something that would take us years and generations and decades and millennials to accomplish, and He can do it that quick if He wants to. If He finds a yielded heart, if He finds a vessel, if He finds a man or a woman that will surrender their lives to God and say, "God, here I am. This is what I have to offer you. It may not be much, God, but it's what I have, and I'll give it to you 100%. The Bible says, as we read it, that because we're surrounded by the witnesses, let's lay aside those weights. Let's get rid of those easily ensnaring sins, those besetting sins, one version says, and let's run with endurance. And if we can't run, let's walk real fast. If we can't walk real fast, let's wheel our little hover rounds as fast as we can. But let's move with endurance to accomplish that which God has for us. What these two verses, what Peter said and what Moses said, with a day is as 1,000 and 1,000 is as a day, is simply this. God can do in a blink what it takes us forever and ever and ever to get done. You see, God's not limited by time or by the brevity of things and circumstances. The brevity of time isn't God's problem. Not surrendering, not yielding our lives to Him on a regular basis is what stalls or holds us back from reaching the destiny and that legacy that God has created for us. When we keep ourselves to ourselves, when we say, "This is my life, this is my time, and God, I'll give you this little bit, I'll give you Sunday morning, and maybe I'll give you a half an hour a couple times a week or even every day in a devotion," instead of saying, "God, I yield my life to you." You see, Jesus, the finisher, is always working in us and with us and for us until the day that we cross that finish line. He's doing that. That's His purpose. That's His goal. That's His job. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 12 in our text this morning. And that's what God says about you and I there in that passage of Hebrews 12. That we have the assurance that God is never, ever going to give up on us, but will continue to shape us and mold us and work in our lives as we allow Him. According to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, God doesn't stop working in our lives until He finishes what He intends to accomplish. Isn't that good news this morning? God's not done with you. God's not going to quit on you. He's not going to say, "Well, you retired, you know, in 2000, whatever, and so, okay, you just sit over there, and I don't really have..." No. God's got purpose and plan, and He's building destiny, and He's building that legacy that we talked about as we surrender to Him. Look what it says in the New Life version of the Bible, Philippians 1:6. "I am sure that God, who began the good work in you, will keep on working until the day Jesus Christ comes again." You see, God has no unfinished works of grace. He's a finisher. And God will not be finished with us until we are eternally in His presence. And until then, He is continually working on us. And His grace is supporting that. So even when we struggle, even when we falter, even when we fail, even when we think it's over, there's no more, I messed up too bad. No, the grace of God is right there, and the power of God to finish is still working for us and in our lives. God never casts His kids aside, nor does He stop the process of the work within us, even though at times our faith wavers, at times our prayer life lags, at times we struggle to live in victory over our sinful actions and our behaviors. I think of that verse in the Bible, that promise where God said, "I will never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you." But God wants us to know this morning that even if we have problems that seem impossible to overcome, the promise stands that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and nothing is impossible with God. You see, now, the definition of a finisher is one of a workman or a craftsman, one who finishes, one who completes or perfects the finest tasks in the manufacturing process. Think of it this way. If you were going to go out and build a house, and you were going to be the GC of your construction, you're going to supervise and you're going to watch this thing happen, you're going to hire all the contractors and the subs and all these people, you're not going to have a rough contractor or carpenter finish the work in the house. At least I hope not. You're going to get the finished carpenter. You're going to get the guy that comes in that knows how to make those cuts so perfect that when those angles and those 90 degrees come together, when you're building your crown molding on the top, and when you're putting the molding on the bottom, and when you're finishing the cabinetry, you don't want to see lines, you don't want to see gaps, you don't want to see errors, you don't want to see those things. You need the finished carpenter. And that's the definition, one who comes along to complete it, to perfect it, to finalize it in the manufacturing process. And that's God by divine nature. He's that finisher. He's doing that. He's finishing and smoothing us out as we grow older and as we wait for Him to return and as we're surrendering our lives to Him. Look at Philippians 1:6 again in another version, the new Living Translation. It says, "And I am certain that God, who began the work, the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus returns." Now, to confirm this truth this morning, I want to take a look at the life of Moses. Moses is a good example for us because we're going to get into Moses' early life. But how many know how old Moses was when he started to lead the Israelites from Egypt to the Promised Land? Anybody know? 80 young years. Don't you love that? There's hope for us today. Moses was the man that God had chosen to lead the nation of Jewish slaves out of bondage from the land of Egypt into the land of promise, into Israel, the nation of Israel, the promised land that God had given told to Abraham. Now let me add that before Moses was born, before he even was a thought in his mom and dad's eyes, and even before he drew his first breath, God knew Moses and had set him apart for this purpose. And I want you to know today that every one of you, before you were born, God knew you. God had a purpose for you. God has a purpose that He's still working out today, even in retirement. And even here on Nettles Island, He is still working that out. I'll explain that to you really quickly here because it's so important. Moses wasn't even on the scene. He wasn't born, but God had already known Moses, knew he was coming, knew his purpose, knew his plan, knew what he would do, knew that at 80 years of age, Moses was going to step into his destiny and begin the work of his legacy and do great and mighty things. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says this. Speaking of the prophet Jeremiah, God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So that was Jeremiah's appointment. That was Jeremiah's destiny. That was Jeremiah's plan, God's plan for his life, to be a prophet of God, that he wouldn't just speak only to the Israelites and say what God is saying, but to the nations around him. And that was his purpose. That was his destiny and legacy. Moses had a different one, but you and I today, every one of us have a legacy and a destiny and a purpose, and God is working to bring that to fruition even as we're here this morning. Now follow me in this. So here's Jeremiah, who's known by God before he was born, set apart, and has a purpose. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 tells us that God does not show to one man favor to one man more than to another. And in Romans chapter 11, 29, "For God's gifts and His callings are irrevocable." So God is not showing favor. If God will call Moses and know Moses before he's born, if He'll call Jeremiah, He's calling us. And He's calling us, not showing favor to one over the other. And His gifts and His callings are irrevocable. That means that what He started in you 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, maybe longer, God's still wanting to finish that out. His purpose and His destiny for each of us is that He works to the end to accomplish His plan. Now, we can mess things up. We're human. I've messed so many things up. We can slow the process down. We can even turn at times, turn away from His plan. Some do. Some have. Some have turned away and said, God, I'm not going to follow You anymore. I'm not going to serve You. And they've turned and they've never looked back. And that's a sad tragedy for those people, because God, the finisher, is waiting to finish, but they have to yield their lives to Him so that He can do that. And then there are others that, for whatever the reason, they left. They got all messed up into something, but the restorer of their faith, the finisher of their faith, was at work to complete the purpose. That's the story of Samson in the Bible. You know his story. You know how he messed up pretty bad. He just got all messed up with women from the heathen nations, and he didn't follow God, and it cost him a lot, but the finisher was there to work, and Samson finished his life for God in a strong, strong way and went to heaven to be with God, and he was happy that he accomplished and his legacy was completed. You see, if we allow it, God will always finish what we start. But we have to allow it. We have to let God. We have to surrender to God. We have to give ourselves over to Him. So let's go into this Exodus. Let's look at Moses for a few minutes this morning. Exodus chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 15. The Bible says, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where he was, to where his own people were, and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. Ouch. That's not good. That's a capital felony in America. You spend a long time in prison, maybe the rest of your life, if you did that in America. He murdered an Egyptian. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was, in essence, an Egyptian himself by the way that he was raised. Born a Hebrew, but raised as an Egyptian. But there was something in him that wanted to make the wrong the right, but he went about it the wrong way, and he messed this thing up. He was 40 years old at this time. I think that God's plan and purpose was God was getting ready to use him as a 40-year-old to lead Israel out. But he messed it up. He changed the timeline. But remember, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. And so that 40 years might mess us up in our mind, but it doesn't affect how God can work in us. So it goes on to say in verse 15, and then Pharaoh heard of this. And when he heard, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian. That's a tremendous story with a lot of details that I don't have time to get into today. But I do want to get back up just a bit to Moses' childhood. Moses was an exceptional child. At the time when male Hebrew children were being killed by Pharaoh's decree to kill all the male Hebrew babies, Moses was miraculously saved by Pharaoh's daughter there in the bulrushes in the Nile River. He was adopted into royalty. He becomes first in line for the throne. He wasn't just a prince. He was the number one prince. I learned that this week in my study. Because the pharaohs were men, but the ones that birthed the baby males and brought them into the lineage of being the pharaoh were the most powerful ones. So here was Pharaoh who was leading, but here was his daughter, a female, and she adopts this baby. God designed all of that. That he would be put there and she would find him and she would take him and have compassion and say, I'm going to raise him as my own. And so even though he's adopted, he's number one in line for the throne. He could have been, if he'd have followed his own way, not God's destination or destiny, he could have been the next Pharaoh. And so here he is, this little baby. He's found, he's brought into the Pharaoh's household, he's royalty. First in line for the throne in the most powerful nation on earth at the time. And as the crown prince, Moses receives the best education available in government, in administration, in arms, in trade, in religion, in science, in music, and art, and literature, architecture, and so many other fields. He's trained up. He's raised up. He's got the best of everything. Moses can't see it. But God is preparing him as a little infant, as a child growing up, using the royal house of Egypt for this massive operation later on to lead this stiff-necked nation of Israel. 6 million Israelis that don't want to listen, don't want to follow God, don't want to listen to Moses, don't want to do anything that's right. They're just a pain in the neck, a pain, a headache waiting to happen. And God is preparing Moses by training him up. That's why it's always interesting to me that when God comes to Moses and says, lead Israel, years later, Moses says, but God, I can't even speak. I'm not even capable of talking. I see it different than I used to. I thought the guy maybe had some kind of a speech impediment. I think the guy just didn't want to do it. And he was looking for reasons to get out of it because he was trained in all of these things and he was being raised and groomed to be the next Pharaoh. One day, as we read in our text, Moses made a pretty serious and life-changing mess of things, didn't he? When he killed that Egyptian. He became a murderer. And somebody saw him. He thought nobody was looking. He killed this man. He buries him in the sand, thinks, well, I saw that. That's going to be okay. But somebody had seen it and reported it back to his granddad, the Pharaoh. And in fear of his very life at the hand of Pharaoh, Moses runs from everything and everybody that he knows. He messed up bad. You and I have not messed up near as bad as what this is. And I want you to see how God turns this around and give you hope so that you know that no matter what your past, what your regrets might be, you've got hope today to move on. So what happens is Moses landed in a strange land among strange people out in the wilderness. He's reduced to tending somebody else's sheep on the backside of the desert just to survive in the land of Midian. And I'm almost certain that Moses is asking himself the question we've probably asked ourselves at times. How'd I get here? Why'd I do that? Oh, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here. How'd I get myself into this mess? How did we get to this place of divorce? How did I become so angry and so bitter and so cynical? How did I mess this up so much? And we end up like Moses in a mess. Looking back on your life and pondering the plans that you laid out when you were starting out in your early 20s. I'm going to go to this certain university. I'm going to get this degree. I'm going to graduate at this time. I'm going to get this great job. And I'm going to marry my dream spouse and have 2.5 perfect kids. And the right plan and the right process. But something along the lines of life, you discover that your right plan somehow went horribly wrong. And like Moses now, you find yourself in a place on the backside of the desert wondering, now what? There's no hope. There's no bright future. I've messed it all up. I guess I'll just try to survive. I'll try to be as happy as I can be every day. I'll try not to think about the yesterday, the mess up, and the things that I did, and the things that I said, and the relationship that I messed up. I'll try not to think about that. Not only do we question that, but we also come to the erroneous conclusion that because we've made that bad mistake, that it's all over. Now hear this. God brings right out of our mistakes. Do you hear what I'm saying? God turns the circumstances. It may take some time. It may take some effort. It may take some obedience on our part. But God is working to finish what He started. You see, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And He can take our wrong turns, our wrong choices, our wrong decisions, and He can turn them out and bring them out to be right. You see, Moses was asking, how in the world did I get here? I'm a prince, but I'm tending somebody else's sheep. I'm highly educated, but I'm doing a job that doesn't take much education at all. I was privileged, but now I'm just a peasant. I understand the science of Egypt. I was a military hero. I was in line for the throne, and now I'm forced to learn to survive survival skills and how to exist in the wilderness. Do you think that God knew that Israel that was going to take 40 days to get from Egypt to the promised land. And if they hadn't messed that up, the people had murmured and complained and had faith, fearless or fear instead of faith, 40 days they'd have been in. But what happened? That 40 days turned into 40 years, didn't it? Do you think God knew that was going to happen? Do you think that God knew that Moses was going to not lead them 40 days in, but 40 years in the wilderness? Are you starting to see the big picture here? Moses is brought out and he can't understand it. He's stuck in the wilderness, but he's learning the wilderness. He's learning to be successful. He's learning to be the leader. God's using a negative situation for the positive and for his honor and his glory. And all Moses has to do is say, "Here I am, Lord. I surrender to you." God's destiny and God's legacy for Moses was still in play. It wasn't derailed because of the mess that Moses made. Moses didn't know in that moment, but while he tried to rebuild some semblance of a life out in the boondocks in the Nowheresville there in the desert, but God had a had a plan that was still intact to still deliver the people of Israel through Moses. Don't misunderstand or underestimate what's going on when you're in the wilderness, when things aren't going right, when you're saying, "Look at what I did," and God doesn't even, I don't even sense him or feel his presence. I don't know, maybe he's done with me. No, he's not. He's just going to correct the situation. He may have to change the course a little bit, but he's going to take that wilderness that you're in, whether it's your own doing or somebody else's that put you there, and he's going to use it. And he's going to bring you through it. And he's going to do great things with you. He's the finisher. Well, let's look at this. In Exodus 3, verses 1 through 6, God shows up. Moses is in the wilderness. And we look out and we see Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that, though the bush was on fire, it hadn't burned up. And so Moses thought, "I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up?" And then the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here am I." God said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy." And then he said, "I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now that's important. We're going to talk about that. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God came down to meet with Moses in the wilderness. And if you're here today and you feel like you're in the wilderness, God will do that for you. Begin to expect it. Begin to ask for it. Begin to do, if you need to correct something, if you need to fix something, if you need to ask God to forgive you of something or repent of something, be quick to do that. God's a God of mighty grace and he will forgive. And so there was Moses learning the way of the wilderness and God shows up and calls him out. God calls him out. "Moses, Moses." Now you may think that God's forgotten you because of the failures, but the finisher never, ever forgets. Amen. God knew how to draw Moses out of his hiding and out of his shame and out of his regret and how to restore him back into his destiny. It says in Exodus 3 verse 6, he said, "I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, why is that important? Because by the time that God's talking to Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have lived and died and they're with God. Do you remember that Jacob used to be Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver? Remember what his name was changed to? Israel, wasn't it? Why is God saying it wrong here? Why is God saying, "Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac"? Why didn't he say Israel? Israel had a new name. His past life was gone. His sins were forgiven. He had a new life and a new name and a new destiny. His name meant one who wrestled with God and won. Jacob meant the supplanter, the deceiver, the one that'll take your wallet when you're not looking. Right? But he says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What's God up to here? God doesn't make mistakes. So there's a reason that he calls him Jacob here. And see, Jacob, the con man, the betrayer, who split up families and caused heartache and problems, and Israel is the great patriarch that Jacob used to be. But God wasn't confused. He was simply reminding Moses that he is the God of our successes and he's the God of our failures, and he'll turn the failure into a success. For every one of us this morning that has been lied to by the enemy, by the devil, who told you that you've made too many mistakes, that you've missed your opportunity and you've lost out on your destiny and it's just life's too far gone, God says this to you and me this morning: nothing is impossible to him who believes. And I'm here to finish this message saying that God is not finished with you yet. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter how little you've done. It doesn't matter how much you've stumbled or failed through life, even lately. And it certainly doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, but God is working out his purpose for you and for me. I'll read it again. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He's working. All you have to do is open your heart of faith, begin to look, and you'll see that God is not finished. He who began a good work in you will bring it forth to completion until the day that Jesus either calls us home or returns for us. He began it, he will carry it, and he will complete it. For after all, he is our finisher. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you are God and you change not. There is no shadow of turning with you. Even when we stumble and when we fall and when we mess up like Moses did. God, I would venture to say that not one of us in this room committed the same mess that Moses did. I'd venture to say, not knowing us that intimately, but you do, that not one of us is a full-fledged murderer, that we saw somebody and it was being hurt and we went out instead of just stopping them. We were so angry that we went after them until we killed them. God, if you can use a murderer, you can turn that man around and take him at 80 years of age. You can take hold of us. You can use us. God, I thank you for legacy. I thank you for destiny. I thank you, Lord, that you have given every one of us purpose in our lives. There's hope in purpose. When our purpose is gone, what's the point of even getting up in the morning? But God, you've given us purpose to serve you, to live for you, to worship you, to love you, to praise you, to share the love of Jesus with our neighbors, our friends, our kids, our grands and greats. God, I just pray this morning over this congregation. I pray for those that are here today that would say, you know what, that message just struck my heart. It hit home. I feel like I've got so many regrets and I've failed so badly that God could never really use me. Oh, He'll bless me from time to time. He'll let me come to church, but I'll sing the songs, but I'm never going to really be used for God. God, what a lie that is. You're the finisher. And you knew every one of us before we were born. You determined every day of our lives. You determined every hour in those days. And you determined how our life would be and what you want it to be. And God, it's not too late. So I ask you this morning to help us, to give us a heart that chases after you, that longs for God, that says, God, I just want to live for you. I just want to serve you. I just want to go forth and carry your name and share the love of Jesus with people, with my family, my neighbors, my friends. God, give us a passion for that today. Give us a burden for that, and help us to stop believing any lies, any untruths, any walls that have been built up by the devil that would say that we're not capable, we're not good enough. God doesn't have a plan for us. For those are lies from the pit. For we learn today in Hebrews and in Philippians that you're working in our lives. So God, I pray that you'll bless your people today. Pray that you'll work in us. You'll do in us what we need you to do. And in this moment of prayer, that we would all surrender right now, that this would be an altar experience where we sit, that we would make an altar in our heart right now and say, God, I surrender all. I surrender all. I give you my life. God, if we're not saved today, that we would ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Start my destiny with you today, God, if we need to do that. For those of us that are saved, and God, we just need more of you. God, just fill us with more of you. Make us like Jesus. God, our hope is in you today. Our life is in you. Our legacy is still being written. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand together with me? Amen. Just take what I've shared today. Make it your thoughts this week. Ponder that. Go back over Hebrews chapter 12. Go back over Philippians chapter 1 once again. Go over those things with us today and just this week and just let God do great and mighty things in your life today. We're going to sing our closing anthem and we're going to be dismissed. God bless you. God be with you. Have the best week. Go with God. Be strong in Him. Let's sing the Lord's Prayer together. Let's just mean it with all of our hearts that we give our lives to Him. His kingdom come, His will be done in this earth, in our bodies, and in our life as we go out of this week. God bless you. I'll meet you in the back if you're new today or you have a prayer need or whatever. I'll be back there to minister and to meet and to greet you. God bless you.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.